Once again, we express our appreciation to our wonderful musicians during these sessions of our annual meeting. It has meant so much to us to have Dr. Sims with us. I cannot resist telling you that one time he came to Birmingham with us for our board meeting, and there was a cup of water sitting on the table out of which I had been drinking. Dr. Sims had not observed that I'd been drinking out of that cup of water. And after a bit, we called on him to come forward and to lead us in some music, and then we asked him to whistle for us because he was very noted for his whistling. And so he took up the water and drank out of it and then went on with his part of the program. Well, it came my time to preside again, and I did not observe that he drank out of the water. So of course, our board members were watching this all the while, and I didn't understand why they got so tickled, but I drank out of the water. And my husband has been wondering ever since why I've been whistling. But Dr. Sims' wife has been wondering ever since why he's been talking all the time. Oh, these days and these hours have been wonderful, and we are so appreciative of your spirit and your participation, which has certainly made our singing and made all of our music. We come now to our business session, to the election of officers. And I recognize the Vice President from Florida, Mrs. Clyde B. Lipscomb, who is Chairman of the Nominating Committee. Ms. Lipscomb.
Explain. Your Nominating Committee presents the following report. For President, Mrs. Robert Fling of Texas. For Recording Secretary, Mrs. J.R. Lobaugh of Kansas. Members at large, Mrs. Stanley R. Barnett of Louisiana and Mrs. E. Wheelis, Jr. of Texas.
All right, I will ask the Vice President from Alabama to come and preside, Mrs. Alex Hall.
You have heard the nomination of Mrs. Robert Fling of Texas for President of Women's Missionary Union. Is there a nomination from the floor? Those favoring the election of Mrs. Robert Fling will please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, and Mrs. Fling is elected president. I am sure that you would want me to say to Mrs. Fling that we love you and thank God for you, for your keen sensitivity to the peoples of the world and their needs. We are grateful for the leadership she is giving to us as we seek to meet those needs. Surely we would be amiss if we did not say thank you to her church, to her family, and to her husband for sharing her so unselfishly and so graciously with us during these days. I am sure that you would like to express your appreciation to Mrs. Fling by standing.
Thank you so much. I will just say at this moment, as you are seating yourselves, I will just say what one of our vice presidents said. I was in the state meeting of Kentucky, and when she came forward on a similar occasion as this, she said simply, "Thank you, I think." I'll save other comments until later. Now, we will ask, as we consider have elected the president, as we think now about our vice presidents, we will ask our recording secretary, Mrs. Lobaugh, to read Article 5, Section 2 of our bylaws and a list of the names of vice presidents. I will ask these to stand as their names are read.
Section 2, Article 5, the vice presidents shall be recognized as officers of Woman's Missionary Union by virtue of their election as presidents of State Woman's Missionary Union. The state presidents: Alabama, Mrs. Alex A. Hall; Arizona, Mrs. R. Q. Kinney; Arkansas, Mrs. Roy E. Snyder; California, Mrs. Harry King; Colorado, Mrs. James R. Fish; D.C., Mrs. Carlton M. Long; Florida, Mrs. Clyde B. Lipscomb; Georgia, Mrs. J.J. Clyett; Illinois, Mrs. J.M. Laughlin; Indiana, Mrs. William Green; Kansas, Mrs. Byron Tracy; Kentucky, Mrs. W.C. White II; Louisiana, Mrs. Carl Conrad; Maryland, Mrs. Samuel H. Jackson; Michigan, Mrs. Emmett Cross; Mississippi, Mrs. W.E. Hanna; Missouri, Mrs. Homer DeLozier; New Mexico, Mrs. O.D. Lambert; North Carolina, Mrs. R. Nolan Benfield; Ohio, Mrs. C.E. Price; Oklahoma, Mrs. Sam Arnold; Oregon, Washington, Mrs. Felix Green; South Carolina, Mrs. E.R. Eller; Tennessee, Mrs. D. Isabel; Texas, Mrs. C.J. Humphrey; Virginia, Mrs. E.S. Stratton.
All right, you have heard the name of Mrs. J.R. Lobaugh of Kansas for recording secretary. Are there other nominations? If not, those favoring the election of Ms. Lobaugh will say aye. Those opposed, no. And the ayes have it, and Mrs. Lobaugh is elected. And surely I express my personal appreciation and the appreciation of Woman's Missionary Union for her spiritual power and her consistent witness. Now, you have heard the names of the members at large proposed by this committee: Mrs. Stanley R. Barnett of Louisiana, Mrs. E.E. Wheelis, Jr. of Texas. Are there other nominations for either of these two places as members at large? If not, those favoring the election of Mrs. Barnett and Mrs. Wheelis will say aye. Those opposed, no. And the ayes have it, and these are elected. Mrs. Barnett is not in this meeting. I believe I see Ms. Wheelis. Will you rise, Ms. Wheelis, so that we may welcome you to our board. Now, at this time, we will have Ms. Hunt bring some announcements.
This is the last roundup of announcements, so you will listen, please. But first, let's see the pages who are serving us this afternoon. Anne Justice, Queen Regent. Anne, will you stand? And serving not on the platform are Deborah Weber, Queen with Scepter, and Barbara Kimmons, a queen. We have appreciated these 13 girls, I believe, who have served us during these sessions. Well, I've been telling you every session nearly about the WMU exhibit. Now I have a new song to sing about the WMU exhibit. The Mission Action flyers, which were distributed at the end of the morning session, are available in the WMU exhibit. If you desire to get one or more to take home with you. This morning at the close of the morning session, there were many requests for the slides that were used in the report which I brought, and the Home Mission Board had supplied many of those slides. Dr. Griffith of the Home Board came to talk about the possibility of making them available to those who wanted them and has sent a note over saying that the slides can be reproduced for you, the script that I used can be reproduced, and that the Radio and Television Commission did tape the report. I was not sure of that, but it was taped this morning. So those of you who would like to use the slides with which the script will be sent, these will be available for $15. I suggest that several of you go together if you're going to purchase these. And if you wish to use the slides and the taped report as it was given here this morning, it will be $2.50 more. You may order these slides and the script from the Home Mission Board booth over in Convention Hall. You may also order the tape through the Home Mission Board booth. Arrangements have been made for these to be made available through the Home Mission Board, though it was taped by the Radio and Television Commission. These are being made available to you on a cost basis from the Home Mission Board. Yesterday I announced that you need not take so many notes, that you could buy the speeches that were delivered here, not this script, so you'll have to buy this one separately, but the speeches that were delivered here will be available after this session over in Convention Hall for $1. And you may get those and make your report back at your home church from those. The pictures of the Bible scenes that we have had here, including the one that is soon to follow, will be available over at a place, I don't know if it's a booth or whether it's a table, but somewhere near the ticket window. And I think you'll see a big sign that will say pictures. These will be $1 each. The Miami Baptist Association is sponsoring a mission tour of local mission points on Thursday afternoon at June 1 from 3 until 5 p.m. Now, I'm sure there'll be announcements all around about this, but we want to make this information available to you. They have air-conditioned buses, which will begin loading in front of Convention Hall at 1:45, and you will remember that food is available here, 3 meals a day being served over in the rear of Convention Hall. For tickets and information, go to the Miami Baptist Association booth, which is booth number 37 in Convention Hall. The tickets are $1.25 each. The Home Mission Board in its magazine gave much information about mission work in the Miami area so that those of us who are here would be aware of what's going on here. But the limits of space in the Home Mission magazine did not permit all to be told that the people here would like told and that we would like to know. And so there is a special edition of the paper today carrying a whole section, I think it is, about Baptist work in the Miami area. The Woman's Missionary Union of Florida found out about this, telephoned Birmingham to see if that union would buy copies for all of you, would we have a way of distributing them. Now, I haven't been back to the foyer, but I understand there are tons of papers back there. We agreed to distribute them, but I think you'll have to pick them up. I don't think the ushers could hold all of these. But there are papers for all of you, a courtesy of the Woman's Missionary Union of Florida, and the ushers will be on duty after adjournment here to distribute these papers for you. Also in the foyer here and over in Convention Hall, there are tables at which you may purchase tickets to see the film Bill Wallace of China, a book written by Dr. Jess Fletcher, who was on our program last evening. This is the first showing of the film. In fact, the first showing will be tonight at 11 o'clock or 11:30, some hour about like that. Would be the original showing, and then it will be shown many times during the week. You may get information about these showings and purchase tickets at the tables in the foyers. Now, I want to again detail some opportunities for you to be sure to remember. The Foreign Mission Board reception, at which time you meet all of these missionaries, will be at the Delito Hotel, not the Roney Plaza, which was earlier announced, but the Delito Hotel, from 4 until 6 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Now let me help you get to the Delito Hotel. When you go out the front door of the auditorium, you go straight for 2 blocks. You do have to turn a curve to get straight. But anyway, avoid these buildings and go 2 blocks, right, follow your nose, and you will be on Collins Avenue. When you get to Collins Avenue, turn right, and 1 block, you will be at the Delito Hotel. Wednesday afternoon, you meet the foreign missionaries. Thursday afternoon, you meet the home missionaries and all the people who serve with the Home Mission Board from 3 until 5 at the Seville Hotel. Now, if you desire to eat your lunch here Thursday, for there are no afternoon sessions of the convention, you can again follow your nose to Collins Avenue and turn left from 3 to 5. You may meet the home missionaries. Thursday evening at 7:45, Women's Missionary Union report comes to the convention, at which time our president will be speaking.
Of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought the spices so they could anoint him. And they came to the tomb just as the sun was rising. "Who is going to roll the stone back from the doorway of the tomb?" they asked each other. And then, as they looked closer, they saw that the stone, which was a very large one, had been rolled back. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then the angel said, "Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." They hurried away from the tomb in awe and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And Mary Magdalene cometh to Simon Peter and to John and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre." And Peter and John ran together and came to the sepulchre, and John stooped down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, and Simon Peter also saw how the clothes lay. And they believed and departed, wondering what had happened. As Mary Magdalene stood in the pathway, suddenly Jesus was there, and she knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she cried out, Master. As Mary Magdalene stood there in the softly breaking dawn, Jesus spoke in a voice so tender that it must have penetrated to her very heart. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary, all stricken, hastened to tell the others that he had spoken these things to her. What a magnificent commission hers was, to be a witness to Christ's conquest over death, and to be the first to go forth to tell others that she had seen the Lord. No woman ever ran to deliver a more triumphant message.
And no woman ever uttered or ever delivered a more triumphant message. And so it is today with our 20th century witnesses. Our staff has had a lot of fun teasing me during this meeting. At noon, some of them came to me to say, you know, during a WMU convention, there ought to be at least one bad speech. And now we're right down to the end of the convention with only two speeches left. And we know that Ms. Maiden is always good. And this is the way they approach me. Ms. Maiden is one whom we love, one that we feel very close to, for she is a missionary mother as well as an associate missionary herself. You will recall that she is the mother of Dr. Joanna Maiden, and I'm sure that it was not an easy thing to see this wonderful only daughter, the daughter of a widowed mother, go to Nigeria. But Mrs. Maiden in those days gave a wonderful witness as she sent forth her daughter to tell the triumphant news and the glad story of salvation. Then Mrs. Maiden herself, having taught more than 23 years, but 23 years at that stretch, Dr. Garner phoned her one day to talk with her about the needs for someone to go and to teach the children of missionaries in the boarding school at our Newton boarding school. And so Mrs. Maiden was willing to take early retirement in order to go and to do this. I know that Ms. Hunt would want me to tell you especially that she is a Virginian and that she makes Virginia her home. Right now, of course, Dr. Joanna Maiden is at home on furlough. They were able to travel home together because their furloughs were due at the same time. Dr. Joanna Maiden has been studying at Johns Hopkins right now, but she will be leaving in about a month or within the month to go back to Nigeria. Mrs. Maiden seeks the open door for further service, but we may be sure wherever she is that she will be telling the triumphant news that Christ is risen from the dead. Mrs. Maiden.
Thank you, Mrs. Flint, Ms. Hunt, and others on the platform. And thank each of you out there. You do look pretty. May God's blessings surround you. I believe that I have something to tell some of you that I have never told you before. I know I've told many of you this thing, but I want to tell each one of you. I do love you. And I want to hold on to you. I do not stand alone well. I must hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to the hand of God. Hold on to the people of God. The must during all the days of my sojourn, in youth, in old age. The privilege of getting to be in this annual meeting and of getting to know and to fellowship with so many more devout people of God is another of those fascinating, joyous surprises in my sunsetting years. This meeting is providing more and more people of God to hold on to. An ever-increasing number just since yesterday. I genuinely am enjoying the many rewards which I never in my early life had a right to expect. But since these rewards are finding me, I feel that I have a right to enjoy them to the fullest, and every right to tell about them in His name. May His grace enable me to manifest heartfelt gratitude to each of you and to give praise and glory to my understanding, compassionate, and patient Heavenly Father. I have been asked, as you see in your program, to tell in 18 minutes what missionaries do. I am told that when the 18 minutes is up, if I don't hush, the platform will open beneath me. Maybe I'm hoping it'll open right now. No, I wouldn't miss this for anything. For I can tell you in one word what missionaries do. Everything. You check with the missionaries. And just check yourself, because you're a missionary too. And 'tis needless to tell you that everything a true missionary does centers in lifting up Jesus Christ. And it is also needless to recite over and over again the answer to who are missionaries. Oh, miracle, that you and I may be among them missionaries who lift Jesus high. True missionaries are lifting every day in faith, believing His promise. And if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. I ask, isn't that our Lord's predestined program for the goal and the end results of all endeavors in world missions? God's program
God's plan, His job. He's asking for helpers. He's using us who are willing. Now, many missionaries do have children. I like to talk about what the children of the missionaries do. And there is much to tell. Indeed, it makes a long, long story. I've been going to and fro on planes, on buses, in my own car, and catching rides for almost a year now, telling, but I've not finished yet. And of course, I'll not get through in 18 minutes here this afternoon. Living among MKs for 3 years, teaching MKs for 3 years, and learning from MKs for 3 years obviously imparts the kind of interesting, uplifting news that everybody ought to know. The last year that I was privileged to be with the children at Newton Memorial School at Oshobo, Nigeria, in West Africa, we enrolled 47 children of our Nigerian missionaries, 6 of Ghana, 1 of Liberia, and 7 children who belong to the USAID people and other American business people. This 1965-66 session closed with 56 students still there. Now, what do MKs do, the children of the missionaries? I observe them. When a fellow pupil has never been influenced by the teachings of royal ambassadors and by the girls' auxiliary, or whenever some come who are not Christians, you could see our MKs putting their heads together in a more thoughtful way than in their hurdles on the sports field. Their heads were together, their hearts were in harmony, their desires were known to God. It was easy to see how acutely they put the Christian principles they had been taught and knew and now. Mission action had come just like new math came to the Oshobo school, and they adopted. They hadn't had all the guides. They weren't published yet, but they used mission action. The Christian joys of abundant living radiated by those same methods we'll be finding, and as I found in the June issue of Royal Service. They radiated into the needy souls of their school classmates and companions. And before school closed, every student had accepted Christ. Every boy was recognized in the recognition service of royal ambassadors, and every girl was received awards in the coronation service. Happy were we, and happy were they. And happy were the parents of our MKs. These children were always happy and eager to share their happiness. Hearts were always filled with love, it seemed. If there happened to be a little something come up to hinder, it was soon obliterated. These hearts filled with love overflowed to others. Among the richest joys, I say to you, were obviously those that resulted from prayers. I heard them pray often for the welfare, integrity, and spiritual growth of national Christians in the countries of Nigeria, in Ghana, in Liberia, and Togo, although we didn't have any that year. We had had the children from Togo. And they prayed the same for all the national peoples everywhere. They prayed that they could be useful in bringing themselves and those whom God created all around the earth to Him. They appeared eager to be taught and led by the Holy Spirit. That which the children of the missionaries did was just about what missionaries do, everything, and that the everythings that they did centered in lifting up Jesus Christ. How glad I am that I was asked at a psychological moment to step out of the seventh grade schoolroom in Meadowview, Virginia, where I thought I had taken root. But somehow the old tap root came loose, and I stepped out and said goodbye to my children, expecting to come up from the sixth grade next year. I had taught there 23 years until I'm sure they needed a change too. 23 consecutive years in one schoolroom. And from there, I went to Newton School. The fellowship I found, the associations with the mission families, gave added enrichment to the extent that when I came home, former students of mine in the 1920s, 40s, 50s, and 60s exclaimed, "You look younger and happier than you did when you went away." I appreciated that, but I was real hungry for one of them to say, "You look a little prettier." They didn't have any base for a comparison, so that was all right. Seriously, I hope that many of you aren't too good with about housekeeping. You know, good housekeepers throw away things. Good housekeepers don't hold on to magazines. They say they don't have space and they're in the way. I do hope that you have kept somewhere about your house. And if you haven't, go home and ask somebody who has been taking the commission for a number of years. And I hope that you will find an article in the May 1957 issue of Commission, and we'll get it out and read the article about Newton Memorial School, written by the late, beloved McKinley Gilliland. It gives all the information about the purpose and the ideals set up for the school. And McKinley, in beautiful words, uniquely described the setting for the dedication of the school on January 13th, 1957. Dr. Patterson used as a text for his message that day Psalm 144, 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in youth, and our daughters as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. The dedication and the opening of the school, in McKinley's words, were as a dream come true. An answer to prayer, a place where parents who have to be separated from their young children in their youth can feel that they are safe and being taken care of, and that nothing and well-rounded development will be neglected. A place where children can have in their house parents, and I trust from all the teachers, a little of the same parental love that they will miss while they're so many miles from their parents and their homes. Don't forget daily to pray for not only the missionary children, but for any other children who have to leave home as early as in the fifth grade to go away to go to school. Pray for those children. Pray for those parents. You will be enriched, and God will honor your request. There came to Newton School exactly 9 years and 3 days after this dedication service on January the 13th, 1957, the opportunity for the students and staff to prove that the text of the dedicatory message had become a reality. It was Sunday, January 16th, 1966, the day following what was called the Bloody Coup Night, resulting from the turnover, resulting in the turnover of Nigeria's government to the military people. I will not try to paint a picture. I do not have the words, but I want to say this. The boys behaved in keeping with the purpose of that dedicatory message. They became truly as plants grown up in youth. They acted in all maturity and in all understanding. The girls were as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Both boys and girls assumed responsibilities. They took care of all the chores that in normal times were done by the cooks and the stewards. The cooks and the stewards could not travel to school that day, and neither could we travel away from school. We could not attend worship services in the town churches. Instead, after Sunday school classes, we adjourned to our largest classroom at that time. And by the way, now we have a chapel building at the Newton Memorial School. We had to go to the largest classroom that day. Thank you all for giving to Newton School this new chapel. The scriptures that were read and the songs that were sung were in answer to requests made by the children themselves. You, as I, would have been amazed, stirred, lifted, had you been there to hear some of the selections. They selected many of what Dr. Sims has been using here for us, and haven't we enjoyed it? Songs such as Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned, requested by children. No turnover there. My faith looks up to thee. Wonderful Words of Life. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Scriptures requested were soothing, and a calmness that passes all understanding held the children and all of us. I hope I never forget the fervor with which their precious voices resounded in the singing of I Keep in Touch with Jesus, and He Keeps Touch with Me. And so we walk together in perfect harmony. There's not a day that passes, there's not an hour goes by, but that we have sweet fellowship, my precious Lord and I. That night, as usually, letters were written to parents. I got to hear the contents of one of our littlest sixth grade boys' letter. It went like this. Dear Mom and Dad, we have heard that many of the government leaders have been killed, but we're all right. We could see from our dorm houses burning in the town, but we're all right. We heard many guns firing all through last night, but we're all right. Somebody has told that Uncle Edgar Burks's car was smashed by rocks thrown at it, but we're all right. Love, Martin. Sons as planks grown up in youth, daughters as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. The concern of children for their parents' peace of mind and of parents for the children is obviously related to God's concern for all his creatures. We cannot help but be overcome, overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. We, I suppose, will continue to go on with the awareness that everything we do must center in lifting up Jesus Christ and declare faithfully in the words that Paul used in writing to the Colossians, to his church family, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world and changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours that very first day you heard it and understood about God's great kindness to sinners. By his enabling power, missionaries do hold on to the word of God, hold on to the hand of God, hold on to the people of God, and let us be sure that we do all our Lord tells us to until he says, come home.
In these days together, in his name has been our theme. One of the most glorious passages in the scripture will be found in the prayer that the Lord taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, you've been singing so wonderfully and so beautifully and just as a great choir. I expect each one of you know by memory the Lord's Prayer as the setting by Malott. And I'm going to ask this entire congregation to constitute a great choir now and stand together and sing the Lord's Prayer together.